Go ahead, Joseph.
I say I kind of agree with a lot of the sentiments, like Carol said, about why people are strongly against underwriting, because it has that potential to kind of usurp our independence. And secondly, because we're a listener organization, we're really supposed to hear all about the listeners, and underwriting is inherently in kind of the advertising model, where the person putting the message out there is trying to reach the listeners instead of the listeners talking to us. So I can appreciate that. And therefore, I do think that we should always see any underwriting we do as only a supplement when necessary. Like, for instance, right now, because our budgets are so tight, so I can see the need for it in desperate times. But if we maintain good pledge drives, which are our direct connections to our listener body, I think that's always what we should maintain as our primary focus on fundraising, because it connects us to the listeners directly and is completely independent. The only people influencing our program are the listeners, and that's exactly what we want. And so, to follow up, if those times I think that we did have underwriting, I think choosing is almost impossible, because it becomes a political question. Who thinks this organization is okay and whatnot? I think what makes underwriting, if it ever happens, a bad thing is if they gain influence, and the influence is through money. So if I were to allow it at all, I would simply say limit no single underwriter to contributing more than 1% of a station's budget, and having the net total amount of underwriting going to a station never to be more than 20% of its total budget. And I think those figures, or something like that, would prevent so much money from threatening the fiscal stability of a unit and therefore affecting it. And, of course, I think there should always be option by maybe 5% of the local membership. If they want to say, hey, we don't like this underwriter, we don't care what you're getting, try to respect that. So, again, I think we just limit the money, give the local persons the ability to get rid of an underwriter, and just try to generally avoid it as possible is kind of how I would think about approaching it. That's it. Thank you.
Could somebody who's over doing dishes mute themselves?
Okay. Jan, I would like to get on the stack.
Go ahead, Jan.
So, I too am afraid of the slippery slope. However, I'm also aware that at least in Los Angeles, you know, underwriting by some, you know, ecological corporations or some people, in my opinion, would be better than what I call fairy dust, where we have, you know, we have people on our airwaves essentially advertising, you know, having whole programs on things that I think are I'm extremely skeptical about the truth and validity of what they're claiming for some of these products that we are essentially hawking on the air, which, in my opinion, are the equivalent or worse. I mean, I would rather be selling Ford cars, because at least you know we're selling Ford cars. We're not saying that fairy dust will really, you know, make cancer go away, or will really, I mean, we had somebody advertising that a bottle would take nuclear, you know, radioactivity out of water. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it gets crazy. So, I think that we could do some guidelines that would make, you know, we could say, okay, you know, we'll only take things from solar, you know, purveyors of things that are good for the environment, or something like that, that we could actually have some decent guidelines. So that's my thoughts. So I'm not as opposed to it as, you know, as I'm not absolutely opposed to it. I think that we could come up with some guidelines that would be realistic guidelines. And at the same time we're thinking about it, we should be thinking about our journalistic standards and not allowing unproven premiums to be hawked on our airs. Thank you.
Well, you're getting into another area there, John. Okay.
Anybody else? I'm just adding that in there for us to think about. Okay, thank you.
Open discussion.
Yep. Sure. Somebody else want to say something on this?
Nancy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good. I think that's a good comparison to make. You know, we're dependent on some of these crazy premiums. You know, what would be better underwriting with a legitimate company that sells legitimate products, or some of these crazy premiums we have. One point I wanted to just bring up is that I have to keep in mind that it is going to take away from programming. I noticed WMNF had all their underwriting like in a block in one part of the hour, you know, and then they didn't have anything else during the rest of the hour. They kind of grouped it all together, and it was a significant chunk of time.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's the other thing to keep in mind. I just wanted to mention that it's going to take away from the regular programming.
Carol has something to add.
Go ahead, Carol.
I just wanted to remind people that when people start drafting parameters to raise broadly in the PNB, that nonprofits, I mean, sometimes people say something about nonprofits and think that because it's a nonprofit, it's that makes it good. A nonprofit is a tax category, and so I don't think that's a useful term to use when things are being drafted as for consideration. That's all.
Okay, let me just respond to a couple of things. Joseph brought up a point about that. Are we dependent on listeners, or are we dependent on corporations? It's kind of like the antithesis we might be forced to juggle with. But I mean, that's sort of the ideal. But how much are we really, you know, dealing with our listeners if some of our stations are doing 140 fundraising days a year, and they're hawking all sorts of, shall we say, very dubious premiums? So the reality is, and I'm not saying the only alternative to that is underwriting or some other revenue generating scheme. Obviously, there is a big problem in the content we provide. We're simply not attracting enough listeners, and it becomes a vicious circle, because the more we do this kind of fundraising, the more we alienate listeners. So we really have to move out of this model fundraising. The other thing is, although there are certainly lots of legitimate questions about if we were to consider underwriting, how do we control it or limit it? There are lots of questions about that, of course. We don't have to completely reinvent the wheel, because we do have the example of lots of our affiliates who've been doing this for a long time. And WMNF is just one example. There are many others. And they seem to do a pretty good job. I don't think any of them are about to become a mouthpiece for one or a few underwriters. So it's not a completely trivial concern, but I think it may be getting exaggerated as to the danger of our being taken over if we have a good quality program in place to control and limit who we do an underwriting contract with and what the content of our underwriting would be. I, you know, if I don't think we would ever want to entertain like they do on some PBS stations, essentially 30-second commercials. That wouldn't be what we would ever do. We might say just have a little PSA saying this program was made possible by a grant from the so-and-so foundation or mom and pop's bicycle store down the street or something like that, you know. Anyway, let's keep going. I just want you to put in my two cents. Yeah, Nancy?
So I guess the point I was trying to make before about the getting in how it cuts into programming is just like you have to limit the amount of money you're dependent upon. It's not analogous to completely analogous to that, but you have to consider the amount of time that it's going to that you limit, you know, the amount of time that it's going to take out of your regular programming. You have to limit the amount of money that you're dependent upon as well. One other is kind of like an idealistic thought was that one way to look at this underwriting undertaking by Pacifica is that it's an opportunity for Pacifica to set an example of how you can promote certain companies that do good for the world, you know. Like in the there's some kind of a law that says companies have to, in order to be a for-profit company, you have to earn money for your stockholders. And maybe, you know, another way that can be turned around is to be a for-profit company. You have to show that people are benefiting from your business. I'm not really expressing this too well, but there's just some way we can promote companies that don't just make a profit for themselves, but that do good for the world. That's one of the criteria that we want to promote this company or allow them to promote themselves on our airways. Just set that example for other media companies that might undertake underwriting or advertising.
Okay. Anybody else?
Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
I think that it would be useful if people who are for underwriting came up with some guidelines so that the discussion and took into account, I think, what Joseph and Nancy said, you know, both the percentage and the time, and came up with some ideas for people to look at to see whether or not we feel the slippery slope. And then I think that Janet's correct that we have to know whether or not that income does stuff for taxes. And I looked quickly at the thing Kriegler sent out, which was complex rules about what you could say and what you can't say, you know, to mislead people, like the bet, you know, like the stuff that probably we're doing, you know, if we're about this will cure cancer, that's probably illegal. Anyway, or, you know, this will really make all your wrinkles go away, no matter what your age. So I think that there are both some ideas of lists of parameters that would be useful for a discussion once we got to the PNB, and also a bit of checking on the legal questions.
Janet.
Oh, Carol, did you look at... Well, I just want to ask Carol a question on that. Did you look at the policy from WMNF on underwriting? What did you think of that?
I actually had not looked at it, but I just printed it out and was looking at it now as I'm also cleaning my office. So I can't give you an intelligent answer.
I'm not saying it's the best model or anything, but it's one possible template, and we could probably get a few others from some of our other affiliates, and we can take a look at what's been done. Like I said, this is not an area where we have to completely reinvent the wheel. It's already been done. It may not have been done exactly according to the way Pacifica would do it if Pacifica would consider it, but there's at least some building blocks that we could work with.
I suggest doing it kind of in a bullet point form rather than a lot of different documents if people are to read it before a meeting. Just a thought.
Yeah, I understand. I think I heard Janet wanted to say something else.
Yeah. So I think I heard Nancy talking about promoting a company. And, I mean, that's not in my understanding of what underwriting it would be to promote a company. But I guess if a company did have an underwriting PSA on the air of a station, then the station, in a sense, would be promoting it. Yeah, my phone is ringing and my other phone is ringing. I don't know if it's interfering, but it's my sense that Pacifica in general is pretty much anti-corporate or anti-capitalist. And, anti-capitalist. And by having advertising, I mean, that's smacks of supporting capitalism. Anyway, I'll stop.
Joseph?
Go ahead, Joseph.
I still want to point out that our listenership levels are down to half. If we had been actively maintaining our listenership levels, we wouldn't even be having the need to consider the possibility of underwriting. And I realize, like, for KPFT right now, we're down to 5,000 listeners, and we're making roughly... pulling in from this was a little less than $1 million a year. For the $100,000 a year it would probably cost us to have a billboard, it would probably double our listenership levels, and so we'd have a net $900,000 or something. So we need to, if we really think it's so bad to have underwriting, maybe a little the willingness to invest in a little advertising might be a good alternative, and I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay. Further thoughts, anybody?
Yeah, let me just try.
Can I just remark on what Joseph just said?
Yeah, go ahead and then
clarifying advertising, because underwriting and advertising are kind of close to being synonymous. But I think what Joseph meant was advertising or marketing. I think is what he's referring. Marketing the stations.
Yeah,
Joseph, am I correct in that?
Mention billboard or something.
Right, but you use the term advertising. So anyway, it's marketing.
And when we're paying them, they can't influence us. So there you go.
Carol, one more thing that struck me.
I think I heard Tom wanting to speak first.
Carol, go ahead.
This is in response to something Joseph said before, which I was just reminded of. I think that the listeners that we have now are not the listeners that we want to have. That is two things about that. One, on the one hand, we want more listeners, so we want a much bigger pool of listeners, and to some extent, we have a shrunken pool, not just because of marketing, but because of I think, programming and who we're pulling in and appealing to and our importance or usefulness to the community. And so in that sense, it's not a big enough group. And so hearing from this shrunken group, it's also a group that is drawn in to the programming that has driven other people away. So in that sense, it may be people we want to keep all of them, but it may be that some of them, at least in terms of the group that is supporting Kay because of the beauty cream, you know, it's people we don't care about and we don't want to hear from, or I don't want to hear from anyway. I think that we need to step back and think about what it is that, as leadership, we're not just representatives, we're leadership. And our role in figuring out the valuable role that Pacifica can play and the stations can play at a time in this country, which is so challenging to us, to many people individually currently or as groups currently, but also very challenging to the future. And I think we are not playing the role that we can play and that the role that we could uniquely play and the role that we should be playing. That's it.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah. Thank you. First of all, I think this is a really good conversation, and there's really important things that in each of the things that you've said. Joseph saying, it shouldn't be more than a certain percentage of our revenue. You can absolutely do that. The idea of a slippery slope is that if we let the camel's nose under the tent, then it's going to be completely inside the tent. And that gets to be a kind of a policy decision, I think, but you can absolutely say who you will and won't take underwriting from. I think the question, you can limit the amount of money that you take to a certain percentage of your, a certain percentage. You know, those kind of things are management. You know, do we have the capacity of management to really manage this process? What Janet said about there is, this comes with infrastructure. There are costs to this that you do need, it's not 100% revenue. Nothing that we do is. How many times have people in the Pacific community said, you've had these loans and you haven't done anything about generating more revenue. There's some fairly limited number of things that they're fairly limited options. I mean, what Carol is talking about is if we improve our programming, we will have more audience. And I absolutely believe that there's some sort of fundamental practices that we could improve. I think the idea of an effective sustainer program and effectively, allowing people to give us money in membership money in ways other than us getting on the air and talking. I think there's a few ways, and I believe major donor fundraising is also a path to significantly increased revenue. And it's, underwriting, allowing underwriters who have the same kind of philosophy of the world as we do. Another thing that I was going to say is the history of the underwriting is that it was originally required as a disclosure of where you get your money. If you take money from somebody from a business, basically, you have to say that you do that. And of course, it has evolved to this place where it's giving recognition to organizations. It's a variety of different places that it comes from, giving recognition to organizations that they support. In this case, it would be Pacifica. One of the things we know is that. Maybe you do research that reinforces your own desire to have it be okay. But in the public radio world, our listeners like it. and they like the fact that our support comes from a variety of different places, and that and it's called the halo effect. There's a name for the study. And then the thing that I think is kind of important, and it doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of money, is that we have assumptions about what Pacifica listeners like and don't like, but they're assumptions, and can we test those? Just like I think it's a great idea that that Carol's survey and surveying the Pacifica National Board members about what our opinions are about things, what our value systems are, that something like, you know, a survey of listeners, of our members, who, you know, what do they think about the premium system and the on-air fundraising and the idea of something like underwriting, or, you know, and balancing those things against each other. So really finding out, instead of saying, you know, I've been around here for these years and I know what our members think.
Let me just add a little bit. And Nancy, can I just say something first?
No, yeah, I just wanted to get on the stack now.
Sure. I sent you out a little thing I did a few years ago, a very compressed discussion of some of the history of underwriting. And its origins were that originally there was an act of Congress that created the public broadcasting. And I don't recall if it was originally meant for radio or television or both. But in any case, it was supposed to be publicly funded broadcasting, and the money was supposed to come from the government and fund these stations that serve the public interest. And what happened over the years was that the funding was cut back more and more. And that was when the idea of underwriting was first brought up, and that underwriting became a supplement, an income supplement to these stations, because they were not being publicly funded sufficiently. Now, that's, of course, different than Pacifica. Pacifica was never, at least originally, publicly funded. I mean, it never really was, except for, you know, of course, we sometimes got CPB funding, but that's something else. And over the years, the guidelines for underwriting became more looser and looser, so that what started out as some very strict guidelines that you can be a public radio station and get some underwriting became much looser, to the point where you can have a 30-second spot on WNYC television anyway. And radio is still not quite this bad, but on public television, basically they have commercials in all but name. So this is how underwriting evolved originally. And you do have models in other countries where it doesn't, as far as I know, it does not exist. For instance, in the BBC public radio and television, it's all funded by, I think they have a tax on individual television owners. If you have a television in the United Kingdom, you get taxed, and that money goes to funding the BBC, among other things. We don't have that kind of a model in this country, and as you know, in today's political climate, there's a huge opposition to publicly funding anything that's of interest to the public. So that's sort of how underwriting how it all evolved. Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
Oh, I just wanted to expand on what I meant by promoting companies that do good for the world. You could somehow say, announce on the air, if you're going to do underwriting, that, like, I'm just reading Kate Boo's underwriting. They won't knowingly accept funds from people who are involved in weapons manufacturing, known to tolerate sexual harassment, known to have been used use unfair labor practices, to be environmentally responsible, et cetera. You know, you can say, you know, and that says to the listeners, these companies are, you know, are companies that you would consider, you know, that you would want to support. So just the fact that they would be an underwriter for Pacifica would promote that, promote them, because we won't allow underwriting from any company that has these, that does these things that we think are bad for the world. And then you can also list the positive things that the company does or something like that. Anyways, just to give more detail on that, it's, I didn't mean, you know, it would be like a bonus to be a underwriter on Pacifica. But it'd be, have to be very strict. And I, again, yeah, it would take a lot of structure to do that. That's all. Sorry, I just wanted to expand on that a little bit.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. Well, let me just say one. Let me get a closing shot in then. One reason I wanted to have this discussion is because, as Tom mentioned, our station, at least four out of the five stations, are already doing some kind of underwriting unofficially. And I think we really should have a policy on it one way or the other. Either we allow underwriting or we don't allow it, or we allow it with some very tight restrictions. Or else if we don't want to have underwriting, then we have to have an alternative. What's the alternative? Do we really want to see our stations doing 140 fundraising days a year? Yeah. Think about it. all right. I think we're done, unless anybody else wants any parting shots. Go ahead, Carol.
I just want to say that I think this was a great discussion, and I'm glad it was scheduled, and I really appreciate it. And also, I appreciate that it's done in a format so that people who are anxious about things don't, you know, focus us and narrow our discussion with Robert's Rules. So I think occasionally having these kinds of meetings are very helpful and informative. And thank you, Alex.
Well, thank you, everybody, for contributing. I guess we can move on to the next item. We're almost out of time, but we have like 5 minutes if there's any new business. Does anybody want to bring anything up under new business? No, if not, then I guess I can entertain a motion to adjourn. Does somebody want to make a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, so moved.
Okay.
It's Tom.
So we have a motion to adjourn. Are there any objections? Okay, well then, good night everybody, and thank you for participating in our meeting tonight.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks.
Good night. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay.